this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. It is not the retaliation that's being promised by the White House for American military deaths in the Mideast, but the U.S. has once again struck Houthi rebel targets in Yemen. Tax relief gets a green light, winning approval in the House.
It's a roughly $79 billion tax cut package focused on helping businesses and lower-income families. It expands the child tax credit for millions of families and restores three key business tax breaks. Prospects for the measure becoming law remain uncertain, with the Senate still having to take it up. But it passed the House 357-70. Correspondent Ben Thomas. After
drenching Northern California with flooding rains, the rain threat is moving pretty steadily towards the east-southeast, but even though they will get some heavy rain across Southern California, it's not as wet as some past atmospheric rivers, which have tended to be much slower moving. National Weather Service lead forecaster Bob Orobeck says it's the first of two atmospheric rivers drench California.
It gave way with a deafening whine, and when the dust had settled at the Boise Airport, there were fatalities. Officials in Boise say three people were killed and nine injured, some in critical condition, when a steel-framed airplane hangar suffered a catastrophic collapse Wednesday evening.
I mean, it was a very chaotic scene, as you can probably imagine.
Boise Fire Department Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
Hummel said some of the victims were on an elevated platform when the structure fell. Witnesses described a loud noise like a dog whining as the building fell down in the shape of an M and part of a crane on top. Boise's regular airport operations were not impacted. Audio courtesy KIVI. I'm Jennifer King.
On Wall Street, Dow futures up 14 points. NASDAQ futures 102 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hear that? It's the gentle sound of a waterfall on your hike. And if you were here, you'd take a deep breath of fresh air if you weren't so winded. But you're not here, because your self-care happens out on the road, riding your motorcycle protected by Progressive. And the bugs you wipe from your headlights are all the nature you need. So if you ride, see if you could save with Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Get an online quote in as little as 3 minutes, all for the great indoors. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
This game's Q News Flash, powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active, be healthy, they'd rather wait. His tumultuous tenure about to come to an end. Clark County School District Superintendent Jesus Jara plans to step down. The school board plans to consider his resignation next week, saying they plan to consider an agenda item to end the superintendent's contract sooner than his expiration date of June 2026. Jara has been superintendent since 2018. He has faced very vocal criticism through the course of his tenure on topics like student achievement, his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and distance learning, as well as the contentious teacher contract negotiations. The reason for his resignation not been released yet, but in his letter to the school board, Jara said his departure is effective February 21st. 10 downtown Las Vegas hotel casinos have a bit of breathing room, a couple more days to agree to a new five-year contract with Culinary Local 226. Now, the more than 2,600 workers at downtown and some independent strip resorts were preparing to strike tomorrow morning without a new deal, but the union extended the strike deadline to Monday morning. Tomorrow's strike deadline, though, holds firm for three independently run strip and off-strip properties. That's Rio, Sahara, and Virgin. Contract talks began in mid-January after the union had deals with the big three casino operators on the Las Vegas Strip. And while some airlines are adding flights to bring more fans to town for Super Bowl 58, one is adding flights to help you get out of town. Avelo Airlines has added two nonstop flights to and from Northern and Southern California with Friday departures and Monday returns. The $51 one-way fare will get you a flight out of Harry Reid Airport on Friday the 9th and get you back here on Monday, February 12th. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
let's talk about the 2023 Best of Las Vegas winners. And of course, our very own Demopolis Law did it again. For the second straight year, they are the Best of Las Vegas Gold winners. And this year, they won gold for Best Accident Lawyer, gold for Best Injury Lawyer, and gold for Best Trial Lawyer. So if you're still thinking about which accident lawyer to hire, you should know the answer by now. Hire Nevada's legal elite, Demopolis Law, baby. We win. Visit them at LegalElite.com.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, you can get an oil change for only $39.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, there are no reported accidents on our Valley freeways, but we've got a real traffic jam already on I-15 southbound through the resort corridor. All that's being reported is a traffic stop at the south end of it, 15 southbound after Tropicana. We're seeing the pretty heavy brake lights starting right around Charleston and Sahara because of it. Rain is coming. Should be here before lunchtime with a high temperature of 59 degrees this afternoon. Already 52 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him,
check it out!
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Thursday, February 1st. Yes, we have gotten rid of January, and it's on to February. Hard to believe it, but it is true. For those of you that have been living under a rock over the course of the last few weeks, the last few months, the U.S. military is becoming deeper and deeper into the possibility of World War III. Hard to believe it, but it is true. The U.S. military is at risk of being unable to defend America's national interests against countries like China and Russia and Iran. The big question is, what is going to happen from here, and are we really at risk of being unable to defend ourselves? Joining us now, happy to have Dakota Wood on board, senior fellow for defense programs at the Heritage Foundation, and joins us now. Dakota, thanks for being a part of the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, I got to question your judgment there, saying happy to have me on with such a sad tale. You must drink really early in the morning.
Oh, God. I want to ask you, the case you make is a pretty solid one, that we are not prepared to face our worst enemies. And you've got a study just out from the Heritage Foundation that seems to indicate that. Can you talk a little bit about what is involved here?
Yeah, we rate the U.S. military as weak, and it's startling to everybody we talk to. It's not an indictment of the quality of the people. We have great men and women. But unbeknownst to most of the public, the military is half the size it was during the Cold War. It has very old equipment. Most of the major pieces, like, you know, tanks and aircraft and that kind of stuff, are 30 and 40 years old. Things that were bought back in the 1980s. That we're still using today. Matter of fact, the average age of an Air Force fighter is 30 years old. The planes are older than the pilots flying them, and the Navy is half the size it was just 30 years ago. The Army has shrank from 800,000 soldiers nearly in the 1980s to 450,000 today. So this tale is, how much military power do you need to do big things? What is the size of the military? What is the age of the equipment? And are they training enough? And the answer to those last three points there is it's all bad news. We've been doing this for 10 years now, and a report has over 3,000 citations that underscore every factoid that we put into a 650-page report. So we're on pretty solid ground that people just aren't aware.
How did this happen? Did this happen overnight? Did it happen gradually? Yeah. Was there one president or one administration that did this? How did this happen?
I call it a 30-year story. I mean, you know the old story about boiling a frog, that it takes, you do it slowly over time, right? So when the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union went away, we had dramatic reductions in the 1990s in capacity and canceling lots of programs that would have brought new equipment in. And then 9/11 happens, and we used the military specifically in Afghanistan for 20 years. We were in Iraq for 8 years, from 2003 to 2011. And so you were consuming all of the ammunition, the lifespan of an airplane, of a tank, all that stuff, consuming that in those operations against opponents that didn't really have any capability. I mean, the Taliban didn't have an air force or a navy or anything like that, but we're using up all of our stuff. Meanwhile, the defense spending over that 30-year period kept declining in real terms, and it didn't keep pace with inflation. So a lot of these things have come together over three decades to give us what we have today. You know, a military half of what it was. Pilots in the Cold War used to fly 200 to 300 hours a year. The average Air Force pilot flies less than 130 hours. Every year. So it's about once, maybe twice a week. And you just can't have a competent force that's able to sustain operations over time in the face of a major opponent like a Russia or a China.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is you have cited four reasons why the U.S. military, well, just isn't prepared to face its worst enemies. Can you talk about these four reasons?
Yeah, let's use China as just a real quick example. In the last year or two, they have made 100 nuclear weapons. Our nuclear modernization program has been ongoing for 14 years. 14 years, and we haven't produced one weapon. So China is in the process of quadrupling, four times the number of deployable nuclear-tipped missiles that they had just 10 or 11 years ago. They're making frontline latest generation aircraft, indigenously designed aircraft carriers. They have nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines, dramatically expanding their portfolio. Russia has taken a beating in Ukraine, no doubt about it. But all the old Soviet stuff that's gotten blown up on the battlefield is being replaced by brand-new manufactured things. We're on a wartime economy, producing more missiles and tanks today than they were before the start of the war. Meanwhile, our inventory keeps shrinking in size, and like I said, the equipment keeps aging. So just using China and Russia as examples, very serious countries expanding their military power, learning lots of lessons. Ours are shrinking. We don't have people wanting to join. Three out of four Americans, young Americans, cannot join the military without a waiver because of criminal records, substance abuse, mental and physical health problems, and obesity. So of that quarter that might be able to join, how many want to? And you've seen the horrible numbers on recruiting. The U.S. Army shrank by 33,000 soldiers last year alone. This year, they'll shrink another 7,000 down to 445,000, the smallest army since the 1930s. So it's a really sad state of affairs.
I know that one of the things we always cover, and it's always in the news, is the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the problems that we're trying to do this thing on the cheap, or are we still spending the same kind of money that we've always spent?
Well, if you looked at accounting for inflation, so if you adjusted, let's say, Vietnam era, $1970 to today's dollars, so you're talking about apples and apples, right? You've seen an increase in defense spending of about 4 or 5% over that period of time. To buy a ship between its Vietnam counterpart, a Spruance-class destroyer, and a brand-new manufacturer, Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, the ship is 500 times more expensive, right? Five times more, 500% more. So you can't increase your defense budget 5% and have things cost 500%, right? And so $850 billion is a lot of money, but it's only about 3% of our national economy. In the Cold War, you were spending between 5 and 6%. So even on the low side of average in Cold War thinking on that thing, our defense budget on a $28 trillion economy would be $1.4 trillion. So these gaps occur over time, you know, over 30 years, and we spend more on healthcare subsidies and education and those sorts of things, and the military has just kind of petered out over three decades. So spending is part of it. Priorities are part of it. Our societal awareness of issues, because everybody says, hey, world's greatest military, and they shield the public from the truth.
Again, Dakota Wood joining us, the Senior Research Fellow for Defense Programs at the Heritage Foundation, joining us. What about the role of Congress, not just this Congress, but previous Congresses? Yeah. Are they the ones that are driving this problem?
It's both the administration and Congress. Over many, many decades, Congress, whoever the party and the White House has control, their power and influence extends then into the same party affiliation in Congress. So the separation of Congress and the executive branch has really broken down over the years. So if the White House has a particular agenda, its allies in Congress are going to push forward that agenda. So you have these political debates between the two parties. When was the last time you can recall that Congress passed a federal budget on time, right? I mean, people can't even reach into their memory banks to remember when that happened. So these continuing resolutions, government shutdowns, creates a lot of volatility in funding. Under a CR, a continuing resolution like we have now, the Defense Department can only spend as much money as they spent the previous year, and you can't start new programs. You can't buy a new thing under these existing rules. So when we delay 3 or 4 or 5 months to even pass the budget, it has a ripple effect across the workforce, maintenance, training, buying new stuff to replace old stuff. So both the executive and legislative branches are at fault. Congress is where the money starts, and so I think they'll probably share a larger part of the blame because they could overrule the White House if they had a mind to do so.
You've had 3 years to watch the Biden administration. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong when it comes to our military?
Well, not much right, and I'm not hyper-partisan on this, but if you just look at the programs that are being championed and whether this administration is making an issue about the state of our military in the world that exists. So the Biden team is kind of an extension of the Obama team. There was a lot of currying favor with Iran to try to dissuade Iran from pursuing its nuclear program. Clearly, that didn't work. Billions of dollars have gone to Iran, either to secure the release of political prisoners or, again, to incentivize them to change their behavior. That hasn't worked. China has been extremely aggressive against Taiwan. The U.S. hasn't done anything. We've had 165 now, I think, attacks on U.S. forces in the Middle East, along with 3 dead soldiers here just a few days ago. Administration response has been near non-existent. Russia invaded Ukraine, and you've seen the devastation over the last 2 years of that. U.S. support has been very tepid, very risk-averse, just enough to keep Ukraine from losing, but not enough to help them win. So if you just look at a pattern of decisions and behavior over the last 3 years, it has not been good, and it just amplifies or makes worse the condition of our military, and more importantly, the nature of the world that our military has to deal with.
I got to ask you, one of the things I love about the Heritage Foundation is not only do you take a snapshot and give us a sense of where we are, but you also come up with solutions. What is it we need to do as a nation in the coming months, in the coming years, relative to our military?
Well, politicians respond to popular pressure. So if you have a son or daughter in the military, I've got my son as a young Marine down at Camp Lejeune. So, these are personal issues. If you want to have trading partners around the world, if you want to be able to export goods, if you want energy prices lower than what they are or could be as we see things spike violence-wise in the Middle East, the voting public places pressure and ask some really serious questions of their representatives in Congress. That's one way. So this kind of popular outcry. The other solution is for people to realize that life isn't a free ride, right? So if you individually or as a business or as a nation is spending beyond your means, that is an unsustainable path. I mean, our national debt is $34 trillion, I believe. We're spending more on interest on the national debt than we are on the U.S. military, right? So public response, a sense of self-discipline, holding people accountable, you know, at our community level as well as at the federal level is another component. And then there is this continuity of seriousness across Congresses and administrations. So even if we double the defense budget today, the industrial base that makes stuff has so shrunk in size that it couldn't absorb that. You can't hire the workers. You can't expand production lines. So you need consistency of funding over the next 8, 10, or 12 years. And that takes, you know, again, some attention, sustained effort, and continuity across Congresses. So it's a long story because we're digging out of a deep hole, but those are some of the recommendations we make.
Do you get a sense that the American public has an appetite to spend more, to do a better job of equipping our military? Do you get a sense that Americans are willing to go for that?
Not on a day-to-day basis. And I don't want to indict my federal fellow Americans, but when living is good, there isn't a sense of danger. And if you're saying, whoa, you know, the sky is falling, then it sounds like you're warmongering or, you know, crying wolf and those sorts of things. So typically what happens in communities or families is people respond in spades when something catastrophic happens. So, a tornado or a hurricane community comes out. You have a heart attack, or now you start looking at your diet, or if you were a smoker, or whatever that might be. So on this international level and military power, potential war with China. Well, I can't tell you when that's going to happen. You know, maybe it never does. So these are kind of theoretical, abstract sorts of concepts, but you know that bad things happen, right? And so until people are confronted with a serious problem, like our southern border, you know, 14,000 people coming into the country almost every day in December, fentanyl, you know, killing 100,000 Americans, every year or something along those lines. That's when people start to take notice. But this military issue largely has escaped notice, and it certainly hasn't changed an attitude in terms of either increased taxes or decreased benefits and doing the things that you would need to do to shift federal spending in a way that makes improvements to our military.
Dakota, how can folks find out more about your study and about the great work that you're doing and your staff is doing at the Heritage Foundation?
Heritage.org/military. It's that simple. Heritage.org/military. Everything is free. It's on that website. It's easy to read. If you're an Army veteran, you just go right to the Army section. If you're concerned about Asia and you want to read about Japan, you just go to the Asia section. So we've made it very easy to access, and it's all right there on the web.
Dakota, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. Keep fighting the good fight, and we will talk again soon, I promise.
Hey, thanks, my friend.
There you go. Dakota Wood, the senior research fellow for defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on this Thursday edition of Live and Local on AM 670 KMZQ.
Thursday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll enter the month of February, 9 months until the election. We'll give you the absolute latest on where things stand on the ground.
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
This segment of the Long Life Era is powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active. Be healthy. They'd rather wait. Marla Letiche is the founder of Long Life Era Community Facebook Group. We also know her as Nanny Bubby. You can embrace the mindset at longlifemindset.com. Okay, Nanny Bubby, what do you say to someone who's reached their golden years, quote unquote, and find themselves looking around saying, is this all there is? You have a statement offering some lighthearted advice.
Well, I do, and it came from a neighbor of mine who recently just had a hip replacement. She was recovering from it. And she said to me as she was walking the neighborhood, you know, doing a therapy of walk for the replacement, and she said, you know, Marla, these golden years are just not what they're cracked up to be. And just to be funny. I said, you're right, but get out of the golden years and make them your titanium years. And when you do that, you have great years ahead.
You also spoke recently with 103-year-old Evelyn Leschgold.
Yes. In that interview, which we did live in the Long Life Era Community Facebook group, I asked her, was there any pain that she had? And her answer was so surprising. She said, I had terrible knee pain in my 70s. And in my late 70s, which was 30 years ago, I replaced both of my knees. And as a result of that, I have no pain anywhere. And so at 103 years old, she has no pain.
That's incredible.
Which is why Dr. Jean's journey in the Facebook group about her knee replacement is so inspiring, because if you have pain, don't delay. You likely have Medicare. It's covered. Go for the gold, or maybe I should say go for the titanium, and make it happen.
Go to Long Life Era.
You're here all the time. Lawyers talk about all their experience. Many years of experience, experience with the insurance companies, and experience in the courtroom. But what you don't hear much is about the results. At Learn & Row, we're proud of our results because that's how we measure our success. We've helped over 150,000 people recover billions of dollars, with over $1 billion just in the last 5 years alone. When you want results, call Learner & Row.
Learner & Row is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Multi-state settlements. Randy Westbrook, managing attorney.
Still keeping your New Year's resolution? Neither are we. But here's some good news. You can eat healthy at Smokin' Pig Barbecue. Our southern greens, made with collards, kale, and Swiss chard, are delicious and genuine southern. Full of vitamins and minerals, or try salad with our slow-smoked brisket or juicy chicken on top. Protein is good. You can skip the peanut butter pie till April. We still love you. Smokin' Pig Barbecue. 16 short minutes from downtown, where Las Vegas Boulevard meets Craig. Smokin' Pig Barbecue. We cater.
670 KMZQ presents After Close, the radio show, powered by GFL Capital Mortgage. Join your hosts, Kevin Sherba and Danny Velazquez, to start your morning off right, educating and guiding you through the mortgage process from application through closing. Learn about how to navigate through the ever-changing mortgage market. Keep up to date with current products, guidelines, and how to avoid common pitfalls. Listen every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 here on 670 KMZQ.
Licensed by Division of Mortgage Lending. Federal license number MB426. NMLS number 64367.
Thought it was a rash, but my doctor said it was a tick bite.
Ticks can spread Lyme disease and other illnesses, leading to chronic health issues.
My brother was always having asthma flare-ups. Turns out a roach problem at home was causing it.
Allergens left behind by roaches and rodents are a major driver of asthma attacks.
When I had a fever and body aches, I never thought it was West Nile virus.
Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can spread serious diseases. Get the facts at pestworld.org.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
This morning than I am at the news of the departure of Jesus Jara as a superintendent of the Clark County School District. The district has suffered mightily under his, quote, leadership, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Supposedly he is going to later in the month give up the leadership of the Clark County School District, CCSD. I think it's great news. We'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side. I want to get your reaction to his passing. We've tried to get rid of him before. We thought we did, and then all of a sudden he came back. It's just incredible. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. We'll get some calls coming up on the other side, and let you weigh in on what you think the future of the Clark County School District is. Is it better off after years of leadership by Dr. Jesus Jara, or is it worse for the wear? We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Thank you.
The Vegas Sports Report is brought to you by Finley Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
The Golden Knights, who haven't played since Saturday, will try to break Edmonton's 16-game win streak when they host the Oilers.